Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1314, we feature two new stories by Life Rattle writer Tyler McLaren. Tyler McLaren had what he describes as a very boring birth in 1988 in Mississauga, Ontario. He is a fifth-generation Canadian with Scottish and Italian roots, and is currently living with his sometimes happily married parents and older brother. After struggling with his weight throughout high school, Tyler discovered a passion for weightlifting and amateur boxing, and occasionally even talking to girls. He went on to study criminology, philosophy, and writing at university. Tyler graduated this past spring and plans to eventually follow in his father's footsteps and become a police officer. Before doing that, however, he'd like to take some time to work on his writing or perhaps just drink and die young. Tyler McLaren captures the voice of young men brilliantly. With fluid prose, he effortlessly pulls you into his world of guy talk and guy thought and guy actions. Guts tempered with soul and intelligence, and then rounded out with some incredibly funny moments. In tonight's first story, we see how one guy attempts to cheer up his newly single friend, and how they both deal with another guy who is having a pretty rough night. Let's listen now as Tyler McLaren reads his story, Failure to Launch, tonight on Life Rattle.
Failure to Launch by Tyler McLaren. Who names their daughter Phyllis, anyway? Adam catches his reflection in the window glare of KB Sushi, extends his arm, and flexes his tricep. Her sister was Josephine, I say. Jesus Christ. That's what I said. I knew something was off, man. From day one, she gave off those crazy vibes, you know? Nice of you to tell me, I say sarcastically. No worries, baby. Adam whips a stirring stick through his coffee before placing it in the corner of his mouth, then runs both hands through his product-matted hair. No worries, baby. We sit, quiet and uncomfortable, as our server takes our plates. She points at the last piece of spicy crab roll left on Adam's, but I pop it into my mouth before he can wave her off. Joey Ring, eh? I ever tell you about that time he cried because he couldn't get picked for drums? What a faggot. You've mentioned it. Did I ever tell you about the time he fucked my girlfriend? Right. Sorry, Ty. I look down at the morsels of rice left on the table. I ate too much. It's okay. So are you, like, depressed? Adam asks. No, I'm all right. Attaboy, he says, flicking rice at me and missing. Fuck it, bud, he says. We'll put your big boy pants on. We'll reach a bar. We'll get buckled tonight. Ty's back on the single team, and that's worth celebrating. Later that evening, leaning on the bar of a crowded nightclub called This Is London, we're celebrating. I wear my big boy pants, low-rise, slim straight, charcoal gray jeans. Adam orders us both a rum and coke as music blares from speakers over our heads, something I've been hearing on the radio. Ty, baby, there's a ton of rockets here tonight, Adam shouts. With my back to the bar, I stare out at the crowd, looking for rockets. From the inside, This Is London looks the same as any other club we've ever been to. Girls dance in black or white or neon-colored dresses and high heels alongside boys in tailored V-neck t-shirts and dark designer jeans. They raise their drinks over their heads as the music crescendos and grind their hips together while the DJ asks if everyone's having a good time tonight. A gangly man, his oversized button-up stained with something still wet, pushes past me to the bathroom, but stops just in front and vomits on the floor. Rum and coke, maybe. Two men, dressed in bouncer red, pull him away and out the emergency exit. Lucky guy. So this is London. I hate everything, I say. What? Adam bends down to get his ear closer to my face. I hate everything, I say again. Right on, baby. He doesn't hear. Never does. I'm gonna scoop up a couple rockets, Ty. Stay put. Adam heads into the fray, but his head floats just above everyone else so I can track his journey through the crowd. He stops every so often and hunches down to talk to a group of girls, then moves on if they're not attractive enough or too stuck up. He won't be long, and Adam never comes back empty-handed. I take one last big swig of my rum and coke before sliding it down the bar. The clear glass cup skids past and under an outstretched hand holding a clump of bills to where a bartender in a tight black miniskirt catches it. She scowls in my direction. I shrug innocently and push my way through the mess of sweaty bodies toward Adam. I peel my feet off the sticky floor with every step and don't want to look down to see what I'm stepping in. I can't find Adam. Ty, Adam shouts from behind me. This is Kristen and Katie. Our rockets for the evening. Katie and Kristen look younger and drunker than Adam and I. Katie wears a backless green dress that fits too tight around her waist and makes her look pudgy. Kristen, short with dyed red hair, wears a hot pink outfit that keeps her breasts perked up. Hi, Kristen and Katie. This is Tyler. I point toward myself. Ty, Kristen says she's not having a good time. Tell him, Kristen. Adam places his right hand on Katie's shoulder and nudges Kristen forward with his left. I hate this place, she says, smiling. Perfect, Adam shouts. Ty hates everything. A few rum and cokes later, Kristen has her arms wrapped around me like I'm an oversized teddy bear she's won at the carnival, watching my eyes but not saying anything. Behind her, Adam's kissing Katie and contorting his face to make me laugh. Kristen says something about how annoying something is, but I can't quite make it out over the music, and I'm not really listening. Ty, baby. Let's take off, Adam shouts, pulling Katie by the hand. Are you guys leaving already? Kristen asks, pouting. Yeah, I say. But Adam scowls from behind Kristen, so I add, but we're doing this little after-party thing at Adam's house. Do you want to go? There's going to be other people there. The after-party will likely consist of couch-cuddling in Adam's parents' basement, drinks with too much alcohol, and making out while watching Seinfeld reruns until Adam takes Katie to his bedroom and I take Kristen on the couch. Nobody else will be there. Kristen rolls her eyes around as if she's thinking it over, as if she thinks I might be lying, as if it matters that I am. Okay, she says. Outside, waiting on a cab, I buy Kristen a hot dog and steal a bite. She wipes ketchup from my lip and sucks it off her finger, smiling slyly. Do you still hate everything? Kristen asks. Okay, maybe not everything, I lie. She leans into me to keep warm, and as I hold her by the waist and think that kissing her might not be so bad, Adam shouts, Ty. Adam and Katie stand out of the snow at a banquet hall entrance just down the sidewalk. A man, almost as tall as Adam, stands in front of them in an expensive-looking peacoat. All of them are looking at me. I leave Kristen with her half-eaten hot dog and walk over. Why'd you bring your little buddy over? We're just talking, says Peacoat. It's all good, baby. Ty's just finding us a ride home. We're just trying to get home, Adam says. Well, that's my girlfriend, bro. You gonna take her home with you? She didn't say she had a boyfriend. Adam looks at Katie, who's moved away from us and out into the snow beside Kristen, who looks at me with concern. I lift a hand up in her direction to keep her back, and I think about saying goodbye, because I don't think we'll be watching any Seinfeld tonight. Moving closer, behind our new friend, I wait. The cold wind kicks up the back of his coat. I see the familiar checkered pattern of pajama pants and running sneakers. I don't give a shit what she said, bro. She's just drunk. She doesn't want anything to do with you and your faggot buddy. Get the fuck out of here. Go home and fuck your friend here. We're just waiting for a cab, baby. Relax, Adam says. Man, stop calling me baby. Are you a fucking faggot? Peacoat steps a little closer to Adam, and I step a little closer to Peacoat. Adam cranes his head to the side, sighs dramatically, and shrugs. No, man, I'm not a faggot. Ty's not a faggot. We're just waiting for a cab. Peacoat's not moving. What are you looking for here? Adam says. You looking for a fight? Are you going to fucking fight me out here in the snow because your girlfriend doesn't love you anymore? You're going to take it out on me, right? Fuck you, dude, Peacoat says. You think I'm a bitch? Adam pauses, looks at me, nods, then says, stop it, man. Just stop it. You don't want to fight me. I don't want to fight you? No, you don't. You want to fight your girl Katie over there, because I had my fucking tongue in her mouth 10 minutes before you showed up, and she wasn't complaining. You can't fight her, though, right? Well, you can't fight me either, bud. Not without fighting Ty, too. Then you're fighting two guys out in the snow in your fucking pajamas, and man, you're not going to win. Just go home, dude, I say. You're all right. I'm not all right, he mumbles. I know. Peacoat doesn't move right away, just plants his feet firmly and waits to see what we'll do. But we don't do anything, so he'll be waiting a while. Finally, Katie pulls at Peacoat's arm with her pale, painted fingers and tugs gently. His chest sinks and his shoulders drop. He walks with Katie to his car, but doesn't take his eyes off of Adam until he climbs in. Kristen, her hands hugging her sides, points in my direction before getting into Peacoat's car behind Katie. She waves as it drives off. Sorry, Ty, Adam says. It's all good, baby.
That was Tyler McLaren reading his story, Failure to Launch. Our next story joins a group of young men off to spend an evening with a group of young women, most of whom they have never met. A drinking game plays icebreaker in the bigger game of hooking up. Let's listen now as Tyler McLaren reads his second story tonight, A Game for Kings.
A Game for Kings by Tyler McLaren. Spencer's been insisting for some time now that we meet his new girlfriend, Rosie. Adam, Kale, and I agree to spend the weekend at her place in Guelph on the promise that she has cute friends that would like to meet us. Rosie does modeling, you know, Spencer says, swerving into the right lane to pass an SUV. She was supposed to be one of those UFC ring girls. Yeah, Spence, Adam says. You told us. I'm just saying, you guys are going to have a great time. No doubt, baby. They're going to be all over us. Oh man, Kale says. If I don't get laid tonight, I will fucking murder someone. How old are these girls anyway, I ask. Probably all in their 20s. Rosie's 23. Thank God. I think that's about where I'm at in terms of maturity. No way, Ty, Kale says. They're still ahead of you. You fucked what, 4 girls? These chicks have guaranteed more than a few under their belts. Okay, so why am I here again? Jesus, Ty. You'll be fine. I'm just saying you need to find your age range. Maybe like 19 to 22. Okay, Kale. What's your range? 19. Spencer lets out a hearty chuckle, and we all reciprocate by mocking his raspy voice with hearty chuckles of our own. Cars flash past my window as we race down the 403. The wind blasts back my hair. I wish I'd used more paste. Slow down, Spence. We're gonna be late, Ty. We're already late, Spence. Fuck you, Ty. Okay, Spence. Hey, did he tell you guys that Rosie does some modeling? We show up late and loud. Rosie hurries to the door with a smile beaming, hugs us like we're old friends, and then plants a long kiss on Spencer's lips while he gropes her ass, crinkling her dress. Adam, rolling his eyes, asks for somewhere to get changed. Cale and I make our way to the living room to meet the other girls. Amanda, Chantel, Nicole, and Lara. They all study at McMaster with Rosie, except for Lara, who lives in town. We teach them how to play the card game Kings. Every card has a rule attached to it, and whoever fails to follow the rules has to drink. Cale flips the deck over to hide the facings, spreads it out over the table, and we pour ourselves a round. Cale and Adam split a bottle of rum and two bottles of Coke. Spencer sips gin and tonic, and I drink Rolling Rock beer. By the second round, Adam has his arm around Nicole's waist. She asks for a picture together. Adam stands up straight, puffs out his chest, and smiles as Chantel snaps a shot. Cale and Amanda have disappeared somewhere. Off in the corner, Spencer holds Rosie in his arms, like a prom date, swaying from side to side to no music. Isn't that adorable? Lara smiles at me from across the wooden table, the tiny, painted fingers of her right hand wrapped around one of those organic beers I've been seeing lately. I think they call that love, I say. I'll probably kill myself in a minute. Oh, me too. Maybe after this beer, says Lara. Cale and Amanda reappear, and Adam insists on playing another round of Kings. Lara moves to stand beside me. Ty, baby, you're up first, Adam says. I flip over a king of clubs, which by the game's rules means that the men have to drink. Cale, Adam, and I hit our cups together while Spencer lifts his in the air from the corner of the room. Lara takes her turn and flips over an eight of hearts. Eight. Pick a date, says Cale. She has to choose a partner to drink with for the rest of the game. Whenever Lara makes a mistake, her date drinks as well. Tyler, would you be my date? She looks up at me with big round eyes and a sweet smile, and I make sure to look back. Sure, but I don't put out. At some point during that third round of Kings, drunk and flirty, Lara takes my hand and keeps it for the length of the game, the length of the cab ride, and the short length of the walk to a bar called the Gown and Gavel, Lara's favorite, where she lets go of me to hand the bouncer her ID. Adam takes Nicole and Chantel to the patio for cigarettes, and the rest of us head upstairs for more drinks. Cale buys me a rum and coke, winks, then grabs Amanda by the waist and disappears back downstairs before I can say anything. Spencer and Rosie leave shortly after, so I buy Lara a shot of vodka mixed with lime juice, a drink I've never heard of until now, and finish my rum and coke. We lean on the bar for a while, smiling stupidly at one another while I think of something funny to say. Are you having a good time or what? I'm having a great time, yes, she says. Standing there, all skinny-legged and glossy-lipped, staring into my eyes, she doesn't seem too mature for me at all. Good. You're not going to want to dance, right? I don't do that. I hate dancing, actually. Terrible at it. Will you marry me? She laughs, saying, you're very charming. Thank you. Thank you. But what's with the drink? My little sister orders stronger stuff than that. We can't all be as tough as you, Mr. Rum and Coke, she says. We go on like that for a while. I tease her about her choice in drink, the pattern on her dress, the color of her shoes, the way she's done her hair. I condemn the population of the bar she's chosen, the whole town in which she lives, and as she blushes and giggles and tries not to smile, she places a gentle hand on the center of my chest as if to stop me, but I don't, because that's not the game. I kiss her instead, cupping her cheek in my free hand as she kisses me back. Her kisses are softer, sweeter than Phyllis's or Kristen's or any schoolyard or house party kiss I've had up until now. "See what I mean?" she says. "Very charming." A few hours after closing, back at Rosie's, Spencer throws up into the toilet while Rosie rubs his back. Cale and Amanda make out on the balcony while Adam lies down on Rosie's bed, Chantel's legs entangled in his own. Nicole sleeps on the couch in the living room. Lara sits halfway in my lap, fiddling with my hair, thumbing at a game on her iPhone that she insists I have to play called Candy Crush. I don't tell her I only have an old BlackBerry. She's glued to her phone now, and I'm just a couch. "I feel like you're ignoring me. Did you have a good time?" I ask, hoping to bait her into another kiss. She doesn't bite. "I did. I'm just really tired," she says, thumbing her touchscreen. "Okay." I kiss her on the cheek when she leaves and take down her number. As soon as her car disappears down the street, Cale runs up behind me and slaps my ass. "Atta fucking boy, Ty. Atta fucking boy." "She just left, dude. She was kind of giving me the cold shoulder." "Jesus, Ty. She just didn't want to sleep with you. She's a nice girl. You've got to put more work in." "She lives in Guelph," I say. "We barely come down here." "So? You'll find another girl when we do. That's the game."
That was Tyler McLaren reading his story, A Game for Kings. That concludes Life Rattle number 1314. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Tyler reading his stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for more new stories.